A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Both Matthew and Luke have this story that we call the Beatitudes, but they do quite different things with it. In Matthew, it takes place on a mountain. In Luke, it's on level ground. Luke concentrates on certain states of being, poverty and wealth, comfort and discomfort. Matthew talks about kinds of behavior. Matthew's placing this event on the mountain is significant, I think, because, well, we all know what happens on mountains, don't we? Think of Moses, think of Transfiguration, think of Calvary. Not just a usual piece of preaching then. And yet, where does it happen, this significant moment? On a hill near Capernaum, Jesus' home village. Not in Jerusalem, not even in the big Galilean towns of Sepphoris or Tiberias, but in among the fisher people and farmers and merchants of the lakeside village. And when he spoke to these people, the ones Matthew calls poor in spirit, meek, the peacemakers and so on, he was speaking to those described by the Hebrew word anawim. Anawim. It's a word that doesn't translate easily. Luke put it in Greek as poor. Matthew tries to convey the idea behind the word by using 8 examples of behavior that characterize the anawim. Let's look at those 8 words. Poor in spirit comes first. Blessed are those, says Jesus, who give their attention to fulfilling their basic needs and the basic needs of their family. It implies that once you go beyond basic needs, once the wants begin to become as important as the needs, once comfort and affluence and waste become part of our lives, the blessedness begins to fade. Once our own well-being comes at the expense of those whose basic needs are not being met, the kingdom of heaven recedes from our grasp. Meek, mild and gentle are other translations. Blessed are those who don't insist on being heard. By gentle, does it mean blessed be those who let themselves be treated as doormats? No. With a prayer, called the Serenity Prayer that I think puts the essence of this. God, grant to me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Mourning. When Dad dies of cancer or an earthquake buries thousands of people, it's natural to mourn the loss of those people taken, we say, before their time. But how about when little Sally is run over by a drunk driver, or the old couple are killed in their own home by drug-fueled teenagers? Will you ever forgive them? I heard a TV reporter ask a victim's son on the news one night. Oh yes, let's have justice. Let's protect others from such sorrow. But first, let's grieve. Let's honour the dead. Let's hold that precious life up before us and thank God for the grace of our loved one. Righteousness, the next word is translated. It means standing up for what is right. Integrity, maybe, justice too. It has to do with knowing what should be done and doing it. But more than that, Jesus uses the words hunger and thirsting. The blessed one does not do what is right because it's the law or because it's a kind of bottom line of behavior. The blessed one is one who craves and yearns for what is right and takes firm action to bring about a world of justice and honesty. Showing mercy. Compassion. We sometimes think that mercy is what we show to someone out of the goodness of our heart. Not so. Mercy is first and foremost an attribute of God. Mercy is what God manifests to his human creatures from the beginning of time. It is the forgiveness that is given before we even ask for it. It is the unconditional love that is there in abundance, even for the worst sinner. So when we show mercy, we merely offer, in our inadequate human way, the divine attribute of compassion that is always there. At times it's hard. The television reporter I mentioned earlier asking the victim, can you ever forgive him, just assumes that justice demands revenge. Bitterness, vindictiveness, these are not the tools of healing. Mercy and compassion can heal. Building good relationships. Alas, we creatures of God, flawed in our humanness, cannot overcome our reckless self-centeredness. Consumed by our own desires, we constantly use our fellow creatures for our own benefit. Egotism marks our every move. Unless we restrain it and reach out to build a community. Because by sharing and cooperating, we discover we can achieve far more than we can by ourselves. But time after time, our selfishness leads us to quarrel, to abandon, to spoil the human community, whether it's our own family or our family of nations. Only in building good relationships can we imitate the model given to us in the Trinity, the unity in one that makes for peace and love and goodness. Purity in heart. With its fixation on sexual matters, the church has sometimes tended to think that this refers to chastity and sexual abstinence, but it's not that at all. It's about cleansing and purifying. Some fields of medicine use the word catharsis, and it has just that idea of cleansing, the release of tension and all that obstructs the truth. Jesus is well aware that we human beings become confused. Our motives get tangled and distorted. Our most profound dedication and need lose focus and aim. Blessed indeed are those who can take time out to reshape their lives in the form God asks of us. Persecution usually conjures up in our minds the Christians in the Colosseum or scenes from a dungeon. But the Greek word persecute actually means to chase after or harass. It doesn't have to involve a lion or a red-hot poker. Just being made to feel that you're a fool, a weirdo, a boring old so-and-so, a nutter for doing what you do. People sometimes take all steps to avoid being thought of as having any sense of the divine. I'm not religious, we hear them say, even sometimes when they have quite a deep spiritual sense. Many people are genuinely seekers after truth, but feel they dare not express any of that search for fear of being ridiculed. 8 small words, and Jesus chose to speak them on the mountaintop. And who were those who listened and heard those words? The Anawim, the powerless, those who have no part to play in the life of the nation, the ones left out. May I be among the Anawim.